Welcome to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini, the podcast where we meet the extraordinary talents, both on stage and off, working at Opera Australia. These conversations were all originally filmed for our streaming service, OA TV. You can find more online at tv.opera.org.au, as well as full productions and behind-the-scenes footage. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my special guest today is the wonderful Australian-Armenian soprano, Natalie Aroyan. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Lyndon.
It's a pleasure. Now, you were born in Australia, but your family, your mother and your father, come from different parts of the world.
That's right.
Do you want to tell me from, or tell all of us, where they originated from?
Well, my mother was born in Egypt and my father was born in Syria. They're both Armenian, of Armenian heritage, so I was brought up in a very Armenian family and a lot of beautiful experiences and education in the Armenian community here in Australia.
And your family had tremendous support for what you do. Was it a musical household?
We did have a lot of music playing in our house. It was mainly a lot of Armenian music and a lot of classical music. Not so much opera, but there was still a lot of music in the house. My father loved listening to music all the time. But opera was very new to us, new to us all, because in the very beginning I had very little knowledge about opera.
I think you were thinking about being a pop singer, is that right?
That's right. Well, at the very, very beginning, I wanted to be a superhero and fly around the world and, you know, save people, but that wasn't going to happen anytime soon. So the next big dream, yes, was to be a pop singer. And so I grew up listening to people like Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, Tina Arena, and I just wanted to be the next big thing here in Australia. And so I trained, you know, I trained in pop music, and I did a lot of karaoke, I sang in a band, I did a lot of competitions. And then the time came that I wanted to take it to the next level. And so at that time, my parents said, well, listen, go to university first. And if you still want to be a pop singer, we'll be behind you 100%. So I went to uni. I did a business and an IT degree. And when I was about to finish, I said, I still want to be a pop singer. They go, okay. And at that same time, this very famous Armenian mezzo-soprano came in from Armenia and was giving a concert, an opera concert. And my parents were forcing me to go to this concert. I didn't really have much interest to go, but they said, just come and listen, you know, as Armenian parents do, always making us go to these Armenian events. And so I listened to her, and as soon as she opened her mouth, this sound came out without a microphone. And I'm like, wow, she has to teach me how to do that, and I'm going to be the best pop singer in the world. I still want to be a pop singer. And so I went to see her, and I sang some gospel music for her. And she turned to me and said, this is Lilian Ofcan. She turned to me and she said, Natalie, you're not meant to be a pop singer. And I was devastated. I mean, how can you say this? This is my dream. This is what I've been working for my whole life. How can you say I'm not meant to be a pop singer? She said, you were born to be an opera singer. I'm like, opera? You know, isn't that for, you know, older people? You know, I don't see myself. She goes, trust me. I sang with her for a week and I absolutely fell in love with it straight away. That's and I haven't fantastic. Turned back ever since.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so you continued studies in Australia?
I continued studies with Lilian. And then I went to the Sydney Conservatorium where I worked with Marie Ryan, which was an amazing 4 years of my life. And then I went off to New York and I worked with the amazing soprano Ruth Falcon.
Yeah.
And then I went on to Italy where I worked with the great Mirella Freni.
That must have been a wonderful experience. I mean, Ruth Falcon too was a fantastic singer and a great teacher. But working with Freni must have been particularly interesting.
Working with Freni was it was kind of surreal because here I am in the same room as one of the greatest sopranos to have ever lived in my industry. And to have her standing right next to me, and I was working on Mimi with her. And so we were doing the aria for Donde Lieta, and she sang the entire thing, standing right next to me in front of all the other students in the program. And she sang it from beginning to end. And she said, Natalie, now you do it. And so I turned and I opened my mouth and nothing came out. I said, how am I supposed to follow Mirella Freni and how beautiful that was? But it was just amazing just to be there. You know, it was very intensive. So I learned a lot of stamina from Mirella and a lot of personality traits. But she was an amazing woman to work with.
I'm sure. Yeah. I heard you sing in a singing competition. And I think I gave you the first prize. And Kang Wang was the second prize. So it was in a very good final. And then we invited you to join the Young Artist Program. And like Diego Torre, you started with 20-something performances of Mimi. Diego was singing Rodolfo, of course. But do you want to tell us a little bit about how that was? coming into the company and just starting off and singing Mimi?
Well, for me, Mimi was my dream role. It was always my dream role. It's a role that I studied at the conservatorium with Mirella, and it was something that I was going to aspire to one day. And then when you gave it to me as my very first role professionally, this was my very first professional role. I didn't start with something small. I started with Mimi straight away, jumped in the deep end. I was ecstatic, obviously, to have this opportunity in the Sydney Opera House on that stage and in this amazing company. And it was just so surreal. I remember the very first performance. I was standing backstage with Ben and Miranda, and we were just, they were holding my hand, and they said, okay, it's your turn, you're going to go on. So as soon as I knock on the door, I know it's about to start. And it was just so, I was just so excited. It was like no turning back now. Once I knock, that's it, I'm on the stage. I'm in the show, that's it. And I knocked on that door and I just had a smile on my face the entire time.
Yeah.
Coming off backstage, I was so giddy, as if this was the most exciting thing I've ever done in my life. It was like a dream come true. Mm. Someone had given me the best toy I could ever ask for and I got to play with it.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And since then, you've sung some very big roles, not only with Opera Australia, but all around the world. Mm. Aida at the Verdi Festival in Verdi's hometown, in Busseto, for example. But lately, we've entrusted you with some big Verdi parts, Aida as one of them, but also with Attila.
Mm.
And I think for me, anyway, It's you know, thinking about your voice, this has been coming for the last 5 years.
Right.
And I think with Attila, you showed absolutely what you can do, and it's a very, very difficult role to sing. But you have all those attributes now. And the stamina that you mentioned, that you worked on with Mirella Freni, you need tremendous stamina in Attila, but also the agility, high notes, the tessitura, everything that now you have in your technical arsenal, as we say. But do you want to talk a little bit about how it was singing Aida for the first time? Because that's also a very daunting thing to do.
It is. Well, Aida was one of the biggest marathon roles, I would call it a marathon, because from beginning to end, I had to pace myself.
Mm.
Because if I gave too much in the beginning, by the time that aria, duet, trio came in, I was going to have nothing left. So that was a very big learning curve for me, to be able to just pace myself and learn what I can do and what I cannot do.
Mm.
And I had to make sure that I don't give too much, because I like to give 110% every time. The first time that I did Bohème, I gave 150%. So by the end of the performance, I was very dizzy.
Mm.
I remember my parents took me out for dinner afterwards in Manly, and I couldn't focus my eyes together because I'd just given so much emotionally. And with Aida, it's a big vocal and emotional marathon.
Yeah.
So I have to always remember to just calculate. Everything's got to be calculated to do that. So, and I only learned that because I had such a great opportunity to sing the arias in the concerts
exactly.
A billion times that you gave me in the Sunday concerts. So I got the arias down as if they were just a click of the finger. And so now doing the whole role from beginning to end, that was the process I had to learn in the rehearsal period, which fortunately I got the amazing opportunity to work with Davide Livermore with that. And we kind of built this character from beginning to end, and I learned a lot just by doing that.
And it was fantastic to see how it grew. And as you say, the great opera hits that we do at the Sydney Opera House on most Sundays, well, we used to, and we'll do them in the future. It's not only a way for people to come to opera and hear the greatest arias, it also provides an opportunity for younger singers who I think should be singing bigger roles to be able to sing those arias in front of the public and do a lot of performances. So every Sunday you turn up and sing Ritorna Vincitor.
Yep.
And it's a great way to build confidence through those arias too. Then you sang Attila.
Yes.
So do you want to talk a bit about Oda Bella, which is an extraordinary role?
Oda Bella, what can I say? She is the ultimate warrior princess. She was the first role that I got to play who didn't have to die to be strong. She was the one, she wasn't the damsel in distress. She was the hero of the opera. She was the heroine that saved the day. She saved her people, she saved her partner, and she got her revenge for her father's death in the end. And I got to do a lot of stabbing, so that was very exciting. But as a role, it was such a powerful role to play. She was so courageous and so strong that I had no choice but to sing her that way.
Mm.
So by singing this strong, powerful character, there was no room for being hesitant in anything. It was guns are blazing from the very beginning, which I've said before, because I come out there and I hit this high C and I drop down two octaves And then I just keep going from then. And it's just, and it was just such an amazing role that I had such an amazing time doing. And I had an incredible cast. I mean, the chorus that we had was amazing. You know, it's our Opera Australia chorus, and they're so supportive and so encouraging. Through my whole process here at Opera Australia, they've been such a great family, and they see me grow from beginning to what I am now, and they've been with me every step of the way. So I've had that support, which is great, and the staff. But the cast was also great. You know, Taras Berezovsky was great as Attila. And I had a really good time working against him and working with him. It was a great dynamic.
Well, you're both young too, and that had that fantastic dynamic, which is.
And he's such a great guy.
Because,
you know, playing that horrible person, it was just, you know, if you see us off stage, it's completely different than when we get on. And Diego, obviously. My goodness, amazing. So.
No, that was a great period. It was a shame that we only got to do two performances.
I know.
However, we'll do it in again.
Yes.
And there'll be more roles like this coming for you in the future, I'm sure, because now that you're singing this repertoire that not many people can sing, and to sing it well is a fantastic achievement. So you should be very proud. We're all very proud of you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
But today you're going to sing for us as well. And you've chosen an Armenian song?
That's right. I've chosen the song Grung by a very famous Armenian composer, Gomidas. And it's about a wanderer who is longing to be reunited with his homeland, just like we are all longing to be reunited with opera on the stage.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Natalie Arroyan. She'll be accompanied by Tahu Matheson, and we look forward to hearing it.
Thank you, Linda.
Oh. Thank you for listening to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini. We hope you've enjoyed the chat, and we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get each new episode as they're released. We also hope to see you in the theatre in the not-too-distant future. And you can stay up to date with all we've got going on at opera.org.au.